Yes. Amen. Glory, glory to the Son of God. Amen. If you got your Bibles, take them out, please, and turn to Numbers chapter 13 with me this morning, please. Numbers chapter 13. It is always good to be with you here in the house of the Lord. And thank God for the men of God that have spoken over the last few weeks while our pastor's been away. And brother, most recently, Brother Tim brought the message last week about being a tree, and what a terrific illustrative message we heard last week. And then before that, you had Brother Frank Thacker here there that was with you. And Brother Frank always does a tremendous job as well. And you'd be praying for Brother Frank as he's being used to the Lord. And before that, we had Brother Tom Wagner. Brother Tom always does a good job as well and has done, as can be seen, what God has done through him over in the life of Central Baptist. And, of course, we talked about as he was leaving out that things are changing in his life. Seasons are changing. And, of course, 2022, 2021, I believe it is, he'll be stepping away from Central Baptist as its lead pastor. And they're in the process, in a two-year process of that right now. So be praying for much for Brother Tom. And, of course, we know that God has been working with us, and we're trying to honor him with all of our life. And we want to do just that today. And I'll be honest with you today, I'm not comfortable preaching this type of message or this particular one to you today. And I thought I was going to bring a different one, and that changed last night. And so let's just honor the Lord. Amen. That's just on the Lord. So today we're going to read a lot of scripture. And I told Melissa that. I said, this message is going to take about 45 minutes. And she said, well, I'm probably going to leave. And Danny said, and there's going to be about 45 minutes of music. She said, well, I'm definitely leaving. So no, we were just kidding back there this morning. But there is a lot of scripture because I felt with this particular word today that the word needs to speak to us more than I do. And so we'll allow that to happen today. So let's ask the Lord to speak to us today and call on him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow before you this morning and we say thank you, Lord. And we say glory to the Son of God this morning. Lord, we say glory to the Father this morning. We say glory to the Holy Ghost this morning. And Lord, we want to give this time to you, Lord, not of ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would do something of eternal consequence in this place today. Lord, that will bring us closer to you. And Lord, ultimately, that will usher us into your prepared place for us in heaven. Lord, let us not be fooling ourselves and thinking that we have it all together this morning. Lord, let us be found to be faithful. Let us be found to be holy, following after you this morning as we'll read. God, I pray that you speak to the heart of your people here today. May we leave out of here better than the way we came in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Numbers chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. All right, so get ready to go. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, and of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. And all those men were heads of the children of Israel. Skipping down to verse 17. Verse 17, and Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there would be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. And now the time was that of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land. Stopping right there just for a second, jumping down to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us. And surely, I like that word in scripture, and surely, as if to doubt the Lord, as if to doubt what God had promised, surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and to the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Brother Gary Mayberry has been bringing us some word on the past few Wednesday nights, and hopefully he'll be back with us on this Wednesday night before he teaches elsewhere. You pray for Brother Gary as well. But he's been bringing up something, and while we were looking at this particular passage, something I had read it in my devotion just a couple weeks prior to Brother Gary bringing it up, and something jumped out in my eyes again, and I'll go over that in just a moment. But here we have the history of God bringing the children out of Egypt. They're wandering around in the wilderness, and God has promised them, I'm going to do something for you. God has promised them that I'm going to do something, and they've seen God move, and yet there's still doubt in their minds. They send out the 12 spies, and two out of the 12, leaving 10, come back with a great report saying, we can do it. God is on our side. That's a message for us today, though it's not at this particular moment. It is a message for us today. Though we are fighting COVID, though we are fighting the coronavirus, we may not be able to do exactly what we have done in times past playing church or being good church people, but we can still be what God has called us to be in reaching the lost. And we can still go to people and tell them about Jesus Christ, whether through a mask or without a mask. And so I want to encourage you this morning to be what God has called you to be and not get discouraged, not thinking that it's hard, because it is hard. Hey, but when God's on your side, we can do anything. So let's keep that in mind this morning. So they're here's Caleb, and he's standing before the people, and he's stating right before them, we can do this. But the other men are saying, no, we can't. And as the word points out, they brought up an evil report. What is an evil report? It's a lie. Let's look at Numbers 14, moving on, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night based on the lie that they were told. They wept. And did you know that they're still doing that? And they celebrate this day on their calendar every year, this day of weeping here. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Let's jump down to verse 23, same chapter, 14:23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. This is what I'd like you to take note of today. Neither shall any of them, if we look back should our wives and should our children fall prey in the wilderness there at the beginning of chapter 14. And they're saying, because of this lie, we can't do what God has called us to do. We can't do what God has promised us he would do. Because of this lie that they are told by the people, they begin to want to do things on their own. And we've been believing a lie that coronavirus and COVID and stuff, I believe it's very real. Don't get me wrong here today. But I believe that the extent at which people are taking to stay away from one another is exactly what the devil would have us to do. And then God is speaking here in verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Like you'd underline that word fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Look at verse 30. doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save these two men, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now let's jump over to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Please allow the word to speak to you today. Here we have set the scene, so to speak. The spies have gone into the land. Only two come back with a good report. The other 10 do not. The other 10 do not. In fact, they create a lie and say, wait a minute, we can't do this. It'll swallow us up. We're not good enough. We're not big enough. Our God may not do exactly, I don't know. And then the people will cry out and say, oh no. And they believe the lie. And they believe the lie. And then God says, oh no, 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 no. Because I've been provoked, the only two of this particular group of people that have seen the promised land are those two men, because they've followed me fully. Now we're jumping down to verse chapter 32, and Brother Gary gave us a great teaching here on this, and there's a reminder of this as they're about to cross over into the promised land. And they come to the leadership and say, we'd like to stay here. We'd like to park our families right here because, you know, we got a lot of livestock. We got a lot of cattle. We got a lot of goats. We got a lot of sheep. We got a lot of this. And we'd like to park right here. This is good for us. This land is good for us. And Moses pipes up and says, wait a minute. You mean you'd rather stay here than go over and fight with your brothers to take the land that God has promised us? So let's look at this. Verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, then the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimron, Heshbon and Eleah, and Shebam and Nebo and beyond, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, they said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto the servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And I can see, I don't know why, maybe it's just apparent in me, they bring this up, and I can only, in my mind's eye, see Moses listening to what they have to say. And when he recognizes what they have to say, his head flips up and looks them straight in the eye. And this is what he says in verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, repeating what we've already heard, verse 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Like you'd underline that word, wholly. They have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, and to all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Would you flip with me now to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings? Please allow the Lord and his word to speak to us today. Two men were highlighted here, and it was given to you and I for all generations to continue to read. The difference between people that will believe a lie, that believe when the struggle gets hard that we need to stop, that we need to just sit back and wait for it to get easy, and yet here are these two men that are pointed out for all of us to see here today, being recognized for holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, following the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, and let's look at verse 6. If you were there, say amen out loud. Amen. Verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not, here's that word again, fully or wholly, after the Lord as did David his father. So here we have contrasting reports. Solomon was a very wise man in his life, in his rule and reign. He started out very well following after the Lord, but he didn't finish so well. And here's the report of that for you and I to read today. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord. What is your testimony here today? Are you a part-time follower of the Lord, or are you a whole full-time follower of the Lord? There's a difference. And churches are full of them all the time, amen? But I want you to think about these things today. Are you wholly following after the Lord, W-H-O-L-L-Y, or are there holes in your story today, H-O-L-E-S? Holy or holy, which are you? Think about that this morning. Let's flip over to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 3. If you're there, say amen. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set him up and set up his son after him to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that was he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Here's another report of somebody who was not wholly following after the Lord. And you and I are, those that don't know history are apt to what? We're not reading God's word and understanding what happens to people when they don't wholly follow after the Lord and we repeat the same actions. Are we not guilty of the very same things that we read? 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Look at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. How old are you, young man? How old are you? Down here? In the pink shirt, how old are you, big guy? 11, how old are you? 9? Stand up for a minute. Would you mind standing up? There's King Josiah, a year older than King Josiah. Thank you, young man. You may be seated. Can you imagine being called into a position of leadership at 8 years old over a group of people? You want to know why preaching scares me to death? Because I have to give an account for what I've given you. He has to give an account for how he led his people. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adadiah and Basketh. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. I believe we can take it to say that that young man wholly followed after the Lord at 8 years old. Wonder what he had heard in the previous 7.5 up to 8 years of his life for him to have knowledge of who God was, who God is, and for him to wholly follow after the Lord. What have you been hearing your entire life? And are you wholly following after the Lord? You see, I don't like preaching stuff like this because as much as I have to bring this up for us today, I had to take an account within myself. I had to do a self-inventory checkup to see where things lied within Brad's life. And can I say that there's been some things that ought not to be there? Can I get a witness in the house today? For you? Right. So are we here today saying that we're wholly following after the Lord just by simply coming to church? Oh, I'm here today and I'm wholly following after the Lord. I'm just going through the motions. Are we here today trying to bless God just by our presence? Are we here today perhaps by our membership within the church? Bless the Lord, I'm a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church. That don't get anybody anywhere. Are we here today trying to make a statement saying we're wholly following after the Lord, perhaps from what you've been blessed to give to the church, perhaps even by your dress code? I dressed up pretty for the Lord today. I'm wholly following after him, perhaps by your lifestyle, some of you on social media. Are we truly wholly following after the Lord, or are there holes in our story? And so the holy that we would represent for our lives is a little bit different. What does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? You see, God is not into weekend visitation, and I know that sounds very cliche, but God wants full-time custody of every last one of us this morning. God's not into the part-time Christian. He's looking for the full-time Christian. You see, the term holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, has many meanings in today's vernacular, but it's a little more specific in the passage that we read today. In the Hebrew word, the word is mole, mole, and it's to be fulfilled after me. Fulfilled after me, to be content in the Lord and not anything else. How many of us would be so honest today that we've been chasing after things of the world? We've been chasing after, my neighbor's got a brand new lawnmower over here and it's got 25 horsepower. Oh no, I can't have that. I got to go get me one with 26 horsepower. How many, come on, can I get a witness here today? Appreciate you. Amen. We're chasing after the things of the world, trying to measure ourselves up by the things of the world. We're not measuring ourselves by God's word and by his son. We're not allowing that. There's a difference. You follow what I'm saying? There's a difference between that this morning. To be content in the Lord and not anything else, male, to be fulfilled after him. You see, we live in the Burger King society. Have we not said that before? Hey, have it your way. Have it your way. We want to make you smile. We want it to be about you. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about God and what he wants for your life. We want to see you smile. Have it your way. I don't know about you, but I've come a long way in these 40-some-odd years. I want to make him smile. My focus has been changed throughout these years. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? This didn't happen in my life overnight, and I'm still not where I ought to be just yet. But he's performing the work in me, and he's going to continue that until the day that he makes me perfect in his presence, and I'll be presented before the Lord God Almighty, faultless and blameless. We see in the lives of those that we've read about today that they were satisfied in the Lord and not in anything else. And they had learned of his faithfulness, and they had learned about his trustworthiness, and they had learned that what he said he would do, they saw that with their very own eyes. And it was only two of the 12 that recognized that, and they're pointed out for you and I to read in Scripture today. That young man that was 8 years old had learned about God's trustworthiness, his faithfulness, that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. How much have we learned? How much have we began to believe on him more and more? Lean upon his breast and let his breath blow down upon us. And that we're given what he says he's going to do. We're trusting that's what's going to come to be. I don't think a whole lot of us are in that particular seat today. A lot of us are trying to make it on our own. And we get just a dab of Jesus throughout the week. And then we can't understand why we're struggling. But they had learned about those things that he is. That's all I need to say there. He is. And they did this in the light of the majority saying otherwise, Caleb and Joshua. They wholly followed the Lord when the contrary ideas, when the contrary speech wouldn't end, when it wouldn't quit. They wholly followed the Lord when they stood by themselves. Can you believe that? They stood by themselves when the other 10 wanted to take the entire congregation the other way. These two men are left staying here. God can. God can. And too many times in the life of the church, how many times have you ever heard the saying, 20% of the church does 80% of the work? When we follow the Lord, there's a length of time to it when we wholly follow after him. What is that, you might say? It means there's a duration. There's a duration to wholly following after the Lord. What does that word mean? It means a continuance in time. The time during which something exists or lasts. How long is it? Can I tell you that holy following after the Lord is longer than you've been saved? It's longer than you've been coming to this church. It's actually longer than you are holy following the Lord. Because you see, when you wholly follow after the Lord in this life, when you enter into the next life, eternity, you're still going to wholly follow after the Lord. It's all the time. All the time. Say that little word, A-L-L. All. It's all the time. It's not some of the time. It's not part-time. It's full-time devotion to him without reservation. It's being fulfilled in him. It's being fulfilled by him. It's being fulfilled of him. It's just him. It's just him. It's just him. How much of him is in your life? You see, there's no retirement plan when you wholly follow after the Lord either. I don't get to quit. I don't get to stop preaching just because I get to a certain age. I don't get to retirement age and cause a certain benefit kicks in. No, when he calls somebody to be a Christian, it's the rest of your days. It's the rest of your days. So there's no retirement plan because the benefits of this life, wholly following after God, are out of this world. Amen? When we wholly follow after the Lord, there's no desertion. There's no leaving it. What is desertion? Well, I'm glad you asked. Daniel Webster in his 1828 dictionary says, it's the act of forsaking or abandoning. It's the act of quitting with an intention not to return. It's the act of leaving my post. It's the act of not standing where I'm supposed to be standing. It's getting off my platform that he's got me standing on as a Christian. It's walking away from that saying, oh, I got to go watch the ball game. It's even when others go a different direction. It's even when the majority says, no, you can't. There's no abandonment. There's no abandoning your stance in him or your post. There's even when it seems the world around me is caving to the otherwise, the other way of life. It's even when everybody else says no, but God says yes. When he says stay, we shouldn't leave. When all around me and my world is caving in, I still need to do what he's called me to do. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Because on Christ, the solid rock, I'm going to stand. D.L. Moody said, if you'll allow me to read this to you, one day when I was in Brooklyn, I saw a young man going along the street without any arms. And a friend who was with me pointed him out and told me his story. And when the war broke out, he felt it to be his duty to enlist and go to the front. And he was engaged to be married. And while in the army, letters passed frequently between him and his intended wife. And after the Battle of the Wilderness, the young lady looked anxiously for the accustomed letter. And for a little while, no letter was received. And at last, one came in a strange hand. She opened it with trembling fingers and read these words. We have fought a terrible battle. I have been wounded so awfully that I shall never be able to support you. A friend writes this for me. I love you more tenderly than ever, but I release you from your promise. I will not ask you to join your life with the maimed life of mine. That letter was never answered. The next train that left, the young lady was on it. She went to the hospital and she found out the number of his cot, and she went down the aisle between the long rows of the wounded men, and at last, she saw the number and hurrying to his side, and she threw her arms around his neck. And she said, I'll not desert you. I'll take care of you. And he didn't resist her love. They were married, and there's no happier couple than this one. We are dependent on one another, Christ says. I'll take care of you. I'll take you to this bosom of mine. And that young man could have spurned her love. He could, but he didn't. Surely you can be saved if you'll accept the Savior's love. If God loves us, my friend, he loves us to the end. That's wholly following that loved person there. But how about our love for the Lord? Are we wholly following after the Lord? He loves us with an unconditional love, a never-ending love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we wholly follow the Lord, it's through all the problems, even though it's hard. Hardships can't deter us from following after the Lord just because the road is rocky, just because the road sometimes may be uphill and it may get steep at times. It doesn't mean that we should stop, even though it's hard. How many of our senior saints in here today have been through really hard times? You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but I believe that there are quite a few that have been through some really hard times. And our young people need to hear that particular testimony of yours of how you leaned upon the Lord, how you trusted in the Lord, how you gained encouragement from the Lord because he is what he said he was going to be for you. When we wholly follow the Lord, it's through all the problems. It's not an easy road to wholly follow after him, but it is a way of blessing. It is a way of blessing for all of us today. Because why? Our faith is encouraged. Our faith is strengthened. Our trusting in Him continues to grow. Our life and our dependency upon Him continues to be strengthened and strengthened and strengthened. And what happens when other people see that? It helps them out. It helps them out. You see, there were just a handful of good kings in the history over a span of the Hebrew children, over the different kingdoms and stuff. And there was just a handful of good kings over about 200 years, five good kings. And the testimony of the five good kings is that they did that which pleased the Lord in His sight, meaning they feared the Lord. What does He tell us to do? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind and soul and strength. And they ridded the kingdoms of idolatry. What else did the Word say to us? To have no other gods before Him. No graven images. That's pretty, what a testimony of the five good kings. And then there were the 33 or so evil kings. They did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What did they continually dabble in? Idolatry. They forsook the Lord in His ways. What a testimony about those people. If your life were to end today and history were to write your life story for you, and other people would want to come and find out, just who is that person? What did they stand for? What did they believe? What would history write about you? Would it be that they wholly followed after the Lord, or were they, that'd be some holes in their story. They put on a pretty good front. They played the part really well. What would your life story say about you? You see, the power of influence of one that wholly follows after the Lord has a super beneficial impact upon people that are around you. Do you ever think about that? The power of influence is strong, and when a good king was in charge, the whole country did better. The whole country did better when there was a good king in place that followed after the Lord, that did what He called them to do. But even more interesting, the lands around those kingdoms did better. The lands around those different areas, different countries even prospered. That's hard to believe. 2 Chronicles 17:10 says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." They prosper and they start fearing the Lord. You see, church, our communities ought to be better places because of our influence on them. When we're wholly following after the Lord, it makes a difference in us. But not only does it make a difference in us, it makes a difference in the people around about us. Our homes are better for it. When all of us are pulling in the same direction and wholly following after the Lord, our homes are better for it. And then the people that we come in contact with in our communities, whether at our homes or whether in our communities, if you will, in our workplace, they're made better for it. Because why? We're wholly following after the Lord. Christian, our friends ought to be better people because of our influence on them. Are you the kind of person who it is just easier doing the right thing around? You see, God needs people of an influence and position of leadership even. When there was a good king, the whole country did well. Young people and parents, you're needed to be good for the sake of the land. We need good, solid, honest politicians and teachers and coaches and lawyers and so on and on. We desperately need parents who train their children in the lead in a godly manner. And if we don't relegate those places to, we relegate those places to evil leaders and we take steps backwards. Look at our society today. I believe it would be fair to say that not everybody in our country has been following after the Lord. And we're reaping the benefit of that today in today's society. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to lead and to be in a place of influence if you intend on using that influence for the sake of right. Because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What I'd like to ask you today is, are you wholly following after the Lord? Or are there holes in your story? My grandma, my dad's mom used to do a lot of quilting. How many of you know quilting? When my grandma passed, my wife and I were able to take possession of her home. And the attic was full of quilting squares. She'd been preparing quilts and getting the squares all just right. I don't know, there's probably 20, 25 boxes, 400 pounds or so, just quilting squares ready to go up in the attic. About to cave in the roof, it seemed like. My grandma could make a quilt, I can tell you. I remember she'd get that old quilting rack out, and my brother and I would end up having a little canopy over us when we were younger, much smaller than this young man today, and we'd play under that quilting rack. And it was always cool in the living room. She'd have it stretched. She couldn't even sit on the furniture because it was stretched from the couch on one side to the love seat on the other side to grandpa's chair at the other end. And nobody touched the TV. And that's, hey, it took up the whole living room. And then my crazy cousins would come over and they'd play with the baby Barbie dolls in there. So we'd had to go outside. But I remember the quilting rack. She made some very cool designs on her quilts. And when we got married, we still had some of the quilts. April's grandmother did the same thing, made quilts. And we just took one of the quilts off our bed the other day. You know, those things were cool, made with love. And you look at them and you look at the design and the pattern on them and you're looking at these quilts, though they have many years of wear and tear, you're looking at them and say, man, I sure hate to lose that quilt. It's not until you wash that quilt. My grandma would always hang her stuff out on the clothesline because she had a dryer in the house, but she didn't like to run it. But she'd hang the quilt out on the clothesline, and it had seen many a year of use and wear and tear. And you didn't realize the state of the quilt until the light from the sunshine began to shine through the holes. And by then, it may be too late to repair or fix the problem that's coming up in that particular quilt. See, it's a lot like us. When we're not holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, following after the Lord, and we're dressing the part, and we're playing the part, we're participating and just going through the motions, there's holes in our story, and we're holy, H-O-L-E-Y. And we don't even begin to realize it. But when we stand in the glorious light of our Savior, and His glory begins to light up the story that we try to tell Him as we try to enter into heaven, there's holes in our story when the light shines through. But you see, He can fill every hole in your gap. He can fill every gap in your life today if you'll allow Him. And there's none bigger in your life this morning than the one that sin causes. And He can take and fill that, repair it. In fact, He'll make it better than new if you'll allow Him. But are you here today acting as if we're holy, following after the Lord? Or are there holes in your story that you've not been able to recognize just yet until you've asked God to reveal them to you? Allow Him to wash you over just a couple times. Help Him to reveal the places where we're inadequate. Help Him to reveal the things that we're doing that we ought not to be doing. Help Him to, asking to help you see you as He sees you. You see, when I look at the mirror, I can't see me like you see me. Does that make sense? Because I'm looking at a two-dimensional image, and you're looking at me in 3D, if you will. And you see me completely different from what I see in the mirror. I'm looking good. Whoa! But then my wife comes in the bathroom, sees me in the mirror, she goes, you need to fix that. You need to fix that. The truth is we can't see ourselves like He sees us until we're asking God to purge us of ourselves, rid us of ourselves, and fill us up with Him and His presence in our life. So I'll ask you again today, are you here today, holy, following after the Lord? Are you a part-time Christian, so-called? Or are you full-time? Because we need folks that'll be full-time following the Lord, answering His call at every opportunity. When the state would call in any disaster, when it seemed like it got to the routine, working with the state and so forth, and Every time something, a little storm will be brewing up and you get all the texts and phone calls, you just catch yourself walking around checking your phone every waking minute. I want to be there when they need me. I want to be there when they need me. How many times are we there when the Lord needs us? We come in contact with somebody at work or at play or in our neighborhood that needs the Lord. And he's called us and he says, I need you to go answer the call for that individual. And we don't. Oh, I got time. I'll catch it later. I'll catch him later. We got to run to the soccer field. We need folks that will answer the call for the Lord this morning. I know we have to earn a living. I know that. I know we have to work. I know we have to do the things that that life has thrown at us and we try to answer. But God is looking for faithful individuals that can be pointed out like Caleb and Joshua this morning that are wholly following after him, that are fully given over to him. We sit here today in a very comfortable setting. But truthfully, we should be uncomfortable. When the number of people that live about us here in this community and the number of homes that are popping up in the subdivisions that are arising, we should be uncomfortable because there's potentially people going to hell and we've not done a thing about it. Whatever our testimony may have been in times past about standing on a hillside, standing as a lighthouse for the people around about us, they know we're here. We can't depend on that anymore. Times have changed, cultures have changed, and some of the areas of ministry have to continue to adapt to the culture. But we still got to carry the same message, and the same Jesus, and not let people fall off and go to hell, and us act as if we've got it all together. Truthfully, every Christian, if they're living the life that God has called them to live, there's going to be some uncomfortableness in their life because, in fact, the Bible says that there's going to be persecution that comes against us because we stand for Jesus Christ, because we claim his name. But many of us here today, if we're being honest with ourselves, we never experienced persecution. We never experienced any kind of, the devil's not fighting us. Why? We're not raising a ruckus for the cause of Christ. So are we truly, wholly, and fully following after the Lord? Or are there holes in our story? If you're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, now would be an awfully good time to trust in Jesus Christ. Today would be a really good day to trust in Jesus Christ so that the holes in your life, the holes in your story, especially the one that sin has created a God-sized hole in your life that only God can fill. If you'll give yourself to him today, he'll make all the difference in your life now and through eternity. But I will be the first one to be honest with you this morning. It will not be easy, but it will be blessed. If you'll place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who was stretched out on a old rugged cross so he could pay your sin debt. Believe on him today. Believe on him and you can be saved. If you're here today and you'd like to get right with the Lord, I've not wholly been following after him. These altars are open. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for anybody. In fact, if that's you today, I'd be the first one down here to the altar asking God to forgive you, repent, change your mind. That's what repentance is, that what I'm doing, what I thought I was doing, I need to change my mind and move back to the Savior. Altars are open. Dear Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this moment, I pray, Lord, that you would do business in the heart of your people here today. God, if there's one here, God, who's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would you would move on this audience today, God, that you would move on the heart of those people that need you, that need a Savior, that have never experienced salvation. God, I'm praying that you would move, that you would breathe life into them. God, if there's somebody here today that needs to get right with you through repentance, may they find themselves around this altar this morning crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, don't let me continue to move in the direction I'm moving. God, draw me closer to the cross. Draw me closer to the Savior in this place today. I have decided to follow you, Jesus. Not partially, not some of the time, not part of the time. I'm going to follow you all the time. Other people will benefit by me following you. Other people will become better people by wanting to do the right thing around me because they know whose child I am today. God, I'm praying that you'll fall down in this place among the heart of your people. May we truly leave out of here better than the way we came in the door. Help us in this place, oh God. Have your way now and do something of eternal consequence for your glory, for our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come on down to the altar if you need to? Get right with the Lord. Don't wait. Christians ought to lead the way.